Good morning, everyone. First of all, I'll repeat this at the end, but the Bechina will be January 6th, not what I said last week, a week earlier. Okay. Today, we are going to start the topic of Mashiach and Olam Haba. And the first question, especially when considering the topic of Olam Haba, that one might raise is this something that we should study? Is it important to study? The first objection that a person might raise to studying the topic, especially of Olam Haba, is that this is something we can't understand anyway, so why should we study it? As the Gemara in Brachos, Lamed Daled Amud Beis on page 2 says, Kol HaNeviim Kulon lo nisnavu el limos ha-mashiach, aval yolam haba ayin lo ra'asa elokim, or bilti elokim zulasecha. When we look at Tanakh, we find a lot of prophecies about yimos ha-mashiach. Not just in the Nevi'im Achronim, though Yeshayahu, Yirmiyahu, Yechezkel, and so forth are certainly full of prophecies regarding yimos ha-mashiach, but even the Torah itself explicitly describes the times of Mashiach in Dvarim Perek Lamed, for example, where it talks about the Kibbutz Galios and the like. However, when it comes to Olam Haba, so we don't find explicit discussions or references about it, at least in the Torah Shebichsav. Why not? So part of the answer that the Gemara is saying is because this is something that we can't understand anyway. Now we're going to Be'ezras Hashem, a little later on, probably not today, deal with the topic of why is it that Olam Haba isn't discussed in more explicitly in Torah Shebichsav. This is a question that almost all the Rishonim were very bothered by, and so we'll turn to it later. But on its most basic level, the answer is it's something that we can't understand. As the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva Perek Ches says, again on page 2, V'kama David how much did David long for the life of Olam Haba? Shenemar, Lule Hamantiler Os Betuv Hashem Be'Eretz Chaim. Eretz Chaim is generally understood as a reference to Olam Haba, a life that's Kulo Chaim. Kvar Hodiunu Chachamim Harishonim, Shetovas Olam Haba, Ein Koach Ba'adam Lahasiga Alborya. The Tov of Olam Haba is not something we could understand. Why? As the Rambam will explain, because we live a physical existence, we have physical bodies, and therefore it's nearly impossible for us to understand the nature of the spiritual pleasure, which is entirely spiritual. Ve'en yodea gadla v'yafya v'atzma shel Ela HaKadosh Baruch Hu levado. In other words, even the Nevi'im couldn't understand this. V'shekol ha-tovos shen misnavim bahem ha-Nevi'im li-Yisrael enan ela l'dvarim shebeguf shenanin bahen Yisrael yimos ha-Mashiach bizman she-tashuv ha-Memshala l'Yisrael aval tovas chai olam haba ein lo erech v'dimyon. There's nothing comparable to olam haba. V'lo dimua ha-Nevi'im kidei shelo yifchasu osa b'dimayon. The Nevi'im didn't even try to describe it so as not to diminish it through analogy. Now this is interesting because, for example, we know that Tanakh, the Chumash, is full of descriptions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we've seen the Rambam say that those are anthropomorphisms, and they're necessary because even though they're false, they allow a person to at least have some relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and some understanding. So maybe you would say that the same thing should be done with respect to Olam Haba. We should give Dimyonos, even though it's true they won't fully capture it and we couldn't fully understand it, but nevertheless we should try, just like we do with respect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The answer, I think, is probably that in the case of descriptions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's something that must be done, because everybody must, to the extent of their ability, have a relationship with God. And therefore, it becomes necessary to offer metaphors and anthropomorphisms and Dibra Torah Kelashon Mnei Adam, so that everyone can relate to God, each on their own level. However, when it comes to Olam Haba, Olam Haba is not something that you really need to know about. While it's true, it's important to know that it exists, the Rambam says, but since it's not something that we can really understand anyhow, why waste your time thinking too much about it? Hu she Yeshayahu amar, ayin lo rasa elokim zulasecha, yase lemechakelo, kilomar, hatova shelo rasa osa ayin navi, velo ra'a osa ela elohim, asa osa ha'elohim la'adam shemechakelo. Amru chachamim, kol nevim kulon lo nivu elimos ha'mashiach, aval olam haba, ayin lo rasa elokim zulasecha. Likewise, Ramban in Shar HaGmul writes, V'rabosenu zal, heim shehivinu upirshu derech v'inyin hayichud hazeh, v'lo sheyagia adam liyadiyas mahuso, sheyadiyah hi haschus, or hi hadibuk be'atmo. Meaning to say, while it's true that we do have some descriptions and analogies in Olam Haba, not so much in the Torah Shebichsav, more in the Torah Shebal Peh, however, these are not complete. These are not things that we could fully understand. And not only that, but the Ramban writes that it's necessarily so, because knowing or understanding what Olam Haba is in and of itself would be Olam Haba. Hayadiyah hi hazechus be'atmo. And that's because, as we'll explain a little more shortly, the great pleasure of Olam Haba, to the extent that it could be described as pleasure, is a result of clinging to God, his dabkus be'HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yediyah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the extent possible. And therefore, if we could understand it, we would experience it. So the first objection to studying this matter is that it's not anything we could understand anyway. The second objection that one might raise is that studying the notion and the concept of Olam Haba is not a Jewish idea. Judaism focuses on Olam Hazeh. Like we said, Tanakh does not focus on Olam Haba. Christianity and other religions are otherworldly, but Judaism is thisworldly, and therefore, it's not a Jewish idea to focus too much on Olam Haba. Now, these two objections notwithstanding, obviously the Ramban did not feel this way. The Ramban wrote a whole work describing what Olam Haba is. The Shar HaGmul is not just about Olam Haba, it's about Yemos HaMashiach, it's about Gan Eden, Gehenim, Olam Haba, Trias HaMesim, talks about the nature of when a person is judged and the various stages of justice and the like. But many Rishonim, including the Ramban, did indeed spend much time, to the extent possible, explaining and describing what it is. Why? So, one practical reason is mentioned here by the Michtav Meliyahu, Hechziku ha-tzadikim zal, l'neged einehem tamid, es tziure gan eden v'hisanig, ve'atanug hanifla shebederach Hashem, uvezeh nitzchu es yitzram ve'amdu neged kol nisyonos. Chazal horu lanu derach zos, ki harei hagadeta shebeshasu v'shemidrashim melea tziyurim chayim v'muchashim mamish v'ma'adam yilmedeim heitei v'yishamreim b'zichrono v'ya'aleim al dimyono yesh b'kocham lif'ol alibo b'li safek. Says Rav Dessler, and this is a common theme in Musar Sfarim, in the writings of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter and the like, that by imagining these things, they will leave a roshem, they will inspire a person. Imagining Gehenim will scare a person from Averos. Imagining Gan Eden or Olam Haba will inspire a person, will help a person dedicate his life to doing that which is right. And therefore, Rav Dessler writes that studying these matters has a very practical purpose, in terms of inspiration, in terms of Musar, and that's why Chazal are full of so many descriptions. However, I think that there's an even more basic point that we have to remember. The first Mishnah in Parakah Chelak says, Kol Yisrael Yesh Lam Chelak Le'olam Haba, except for a couple of exceptions. Presumably, these are going to be the most egregious sins that can be. And one of them is Ha'omer Ein Chiyas HaMesim in HaTorah. Someone who denies Chiyas HaMesim has no Chelak in Olam Haba, no Chelak in Chiyas HaMesim. First of all, note how it doesn't just say Ha'omer Ein Chiyas HaMesim, but Ha'omer Ein Chiyas HaMesim in HaTorah. Second of all, it's very interesting. Many scholars have noted that, generally speaking, the Gemara does not focus too much on beliefs. And for whatever reason, here the Mishnah says explicitly, more so than it does for any of the other Ikari Emuna, that Ha'omer Ein Chiyas HaMesim Ein Lo Chelak Olam Haba. Someone who denies Olam Haba doesn't get Olam Haba. The Gemara in fact says that this is a Mida Keneged Mida, Hu Kafar Ba Lefikach Lo Yelo Chelak Bo. However, it gets much deeper than that. And that is that belief in Olam Haba is very, very essential and fundamental. And this is true on many levels. First of all, someone who just sees this world, sees the injustice and the difficulty of this world, is obviously going to have a very difficult time with religious belief. If someone thinks that there's nothing more than Olam Hazeh, there's nothing more than our guf, there's no Nitzchias HaNeshama, so obviously, religion will be very limited. However, it really goes much further than that. And I think this is an idea that we could actually see in this week's Parsha and last week's Parsha with respect to Yaakov and Esav. It says, Rashi and the Gemara talk about what was the dispute of Yaakov and Esav. They were arguing about Nachla Shnei Olamin, meaning to say, was there such a thing as Shnei Olamim, or is there just Olam Hazeh? And this is brought out very beautifully in the Gemara in Bava Basra on Tezayin Amud Beis, which says that, what was it that Esav did on that day? So the Gemara says that Esav violated 5 Averos on that day. And I heard from Rav Aaron Lapiansky, my Rebbe, that if you look at the Averos that he did, they all have a Tzad HaShaveh. For example, the Gemara says that Esav was Kofer in Olam Haba and Kofer Be'ikar. It's very interesting because, first of all, if you're Kofer Be'ikar, obviously you're Kofer Be'olam Haba. And moreover, what is the reason to stress of all the possible kfiros? I understand Kofer Be'ikar, but what's Kofer Be'olam Haba? The Mashmos is that he was Kofer Be'olam Haba, and that precisely is what brought him to be Kofer Be'ikar. It says, for example, he was Baal Naira Hamurasa. And the Rishonim are bothered. Why? What's Naira Hamurasa? That was in a world where there wasn't such a thing as Erisin. And of all the Arayos, why doesn't it say Baal Eishas Ish? Naira Hamurasa Dafka. And the answer is that Esav's position was, according to Chazal, exactly this. That there is no Olam Haba. Hine anochi holech lamus v'lama zeli b'chora. I'm going to die. All there is this world. All there is what I perceive. All there is what I can see. There's nothing else. Hine anochi holech lamus. I have no need for the b'chora. And that's the idea. It wasn't just that he was kofer be'ikar, but it was kofer be'olam haba. He denied anything that he can't see. His reality was nothing more than that which is here and now. And that's even the idea of Naira Murasa. What's the idea of Naira Murasa? It used to be, like the Rambam describes, that before Matan Torah, Adam was Poge Ishto Bashuk, and if they lived together as husband and wife, then they were husband and wife. And were they to separate, then they aren't. The idea of a Naira Murasa is something which is forward-looking. She's still Dar Beves Aviha, but they're anticipating something coming in the future. And that already gives her a sense of Ishus. If she's Mizaneh, it's like an Ishus Ish being Mizaneh. The question is, and what distinguishes Yaakov from Esav, is do you just see the here and now, or is there something bigger, something greater, something which I don't yet perceive, but which I know exists and will exist? And that is why someone who is kofer ba'olam haba, ha'omer ein tchias ha'meisim min ha'Torah, has no chelek li'olam haba. That's the whole point. That's what the Chazal are trying to say. Maybe it wasn't an Isser of Misa. Somebody was designated a woman for Erisin. The point wasn't that she was an Eishes Ish.
No, she wasn't an official Nara Marasa. It was just I'm planning to get married.
Right. Okay, that's the first point. Now again, this doesn't mean that a person should necessarily spend lots and lots of time trying to understand what Olam Hava is. After all, like we said, Ayin Lo Rasa built Yalukim Zul Asecha. But it does mean that, at the very least, understanding that the concept exists is something which is very fundamental. The second point that I'd like to bring out is that when we talk about Schar V'Onesh, we're not primarily discussing external reward, but we're dealing with natural reward. It's not like I do mitzvos and I'm a good person and the like, and then I'm paid money or paid some type of reward, whether it's physical reward or even spiritual reward, that is something that is external. But it's something that's natural outgrowth of a person's good deeds. This idea is expressed in many places. If you take, for example, the perspective of the Rambam, who focuses on intellectual achievements, and we'll talk about that a little later, the natural result of a person's development, and especially intellectual development on this world, is precisely what will naturally allow them to benefit in terms of Yediyas Hashem in Olam Haba. On a more mystical level, the Nefesh HaChayim, which is on page 2, expresses it this way. The pasuk in Iyov says, "Ki poel adam yishalim lo." What does that mean? "Ki poel adam yishalim lo." Kemoshin is ba'er lamala. Shemeis sheola al tohar machsheves adam lasos mitzvah tekev nase rishumo lamala b'sharsho ha'elyon livnos v'lin toa kama olamos v'kolchos elyonim. Even before a person actually does a mitzvah, just the thought of doing a mitzvah already affects the olamos elyonim. This is a major theme in Nefesh HaChaim and in many of the Sifrei Svarim, including the Sefer HaTanya and the like, that a person affects the world through olam, through machshav v'dibur and maisa, and in a certain sense, machshava is the most powerful. And something happens immediately. Kemosha kasa v'asim dvarai b'ficha lintoa shamayim, etc. That a person is capable of being noteya shamayim. Ukem amram al tikri banayach ela bonayach. That people, when they do mitzvos, are bonayach. They are builders. They build spiritual olamos. V'zeu inyan schar ha'olam haba, shehu ma'aseh yidei ha'adam atzmo. Olam haba is what I myself build. Adam bone beis olamo. You build your own olam haba. She'achar predas nafsho me'haguf, hu ha'ole lihisadein ulahasbia nafsho b'tzach tzachos ha'oros v'akochos v'ha'olamos ha'kadoshim shenitosvu v'nisrabu mimaisav ha'tovim. The Maimaisim Tovim create Olamos, and then I benefit from those Olamos. So it's not external reward, but it is the benefit. I enjoy the house that I built. He says that's what it means when we say Kol Yisrael Yesh Lam Chelek Li Olam Haba, as opposed to Bi Olam Haba. Aval Ha'emes She'olam Haba Hu Maisa Yidei Ha'adam Atzmo She'hirchiv V'hosif V'hiskin chelak l'atzmo b'masav. And likewise, the reverse. If when I do a mitzvah, I create a halo of holiness above me. V'chein ha'onesh ha'gehenem inyano gam kein she'hachet atzmo hu oncho. It's not that I burn as a punishment, but the chet itself is the onesh. She'kasher, we're on page 3 now. She'kasher ha'adam oseh achas mi'mitzvos Hashem asher lo te'asena ha'pigam v'achurba nirsham chash v'shalom tekef l'mala b'sharsho u'le'uma zeh imala ha'chriva hu meikim u'magbir kochos v'chayali atuma v'aklipos. Hashem should help us. That a person affects the klipos, he gives kochos through his averos itself. And he says, v'hu b'chayiv b'gehenim mamish. The truth is that a person, when they sin, they're already in Gehenim. The Gehenim is mamish makifo be'es asiyas achet. The koach hara is different than the koach hatov. It's only be'es asiyas achet as opposed to staying with him to the same extent. But what? If you're Gehenim in this world, it's only that rak she'eno margish adayin ad achar p'tiraso. Shenilkad az birshus bereshes asher hechin hein kochos hatuma v'amazikin shebra'o mimasav. And thus the pasuk in Yeshayahu says hein kuchem kod chayesh. We're in Gehenim now if we sin. We just don't yet perceive it. We don't have the zaklus hanefesh. We're still spiritually, our spiritual perceptions are blunt, and therefore it's not something that we perceive now. So it's not like you die and then you go to Gehenim as a punishment. The natural outgrowth of sin creates Gehenim, and you're in it. And when a person's guf separates from their nefesh, then they're able to perceive it. And therefore he says, that's what Chazal mean when they say, Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu Vatran Yivatru Chayav. At first glance, that's problematic. Why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu such a kaptan? What's wrong with being a Vatran? And he answers, well, if you were to say that Gehenim is al derech ha'onesh v'nekima, so then I would understand the objection. But Gehenim is not derech onesh or nekima. Rather, chatoim tirdof ra, hachet atzmo hu onsho. And therefore, vatranos, by definition, in a certain sense, isn't shayach. Now, tshuva is possible, and there's a role for tshuva. However, the important thing to remember, whether you take a more rationalist approach of the Rambam or a mystical approach, as described here in the Nefesh HaChayim, schar v'onesh, for the most part, is something which occurs naturally. Right. Exactly. Or denying it. So, what is Olam Haba? The first approach we're going to take is the approach that is the predominant approach in Chazal, Al-Pisod, and the like, and we'll see it as expressed by the Ramban, and later on we'll consider the approach of the Rambam. The Ramban writes in Shar HaGemul, page 3, Achshav bi'arnu kavanasenu b'schare ha-mitzvos va'onsham v'nachzor b'ktsara ki schare nefashos v'kiyumam ba'olam ha-neshamos nikra l'rabosenu gan eden. That means the following. When a person dies, if they are a tzaddik, they go to gan eden. If they are a rasha, they go to Gehenim. Most people go to Gehenim for some amount of time. Gehenim is really a matana from HaKadosh Baruch Hu because it allows a person neshama, which was to the extent that it was nifgam, to be purified. And that's why, generally speaking, the maximum sentence in Gehenim is a year. That's why we say Kaddish only for 11 months. We don't want to imply, a person doesn't imply that their parents got the maximum sentence. Gehenim is a gift. It's an opportunity. Were it not for Gehenim, then we would be stuck with the kilkel. And this is important to understand a general theme, especially in Taras HaSod, which is that the onshin that we talk about are always b'derech hatova and b'taras matana. Whether you understand that with respect to Gilgul Neshamos. Gilgulim, again, is an opportunity for a person to be misakein what they fixed, the Ramban explains. And likewise, Gehenim is an opportunity for purification. So, after a person dies, they go to Gan Eden or Gehenim. And this is called the Olam HaNeshamos. It's called the Olam HaNeshamos because there's no physical existence whatsoever. A person's body dies, it's buried, it separates from the soul. The soul continues to exist in the Olam HaNeshamos. Upamim korin oso aliyah v'yeshiva shel ma'ala. V'achrechein yavo yimos yimei ha-mashiach v'hu mechlal ha-olam hazeh. At a certain point in time, the Mashiach will come. Mashiach is part of Olam Hazeh. Meaning to say, if we divide the universe into two broad categories, there's Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. Mashiach is part of Olam Hazeh. It is very different, obviously, than Olam Hazeh, perhaps as we experience it now, but it's a this-worldly experience. Like we said at the beginning, the Nevi'im are able to describe Olam Hazeh, and therefore they're able to describe Mashiach. It's something we could relate to, it's something we could understand, and hence it's described explicitly in Tanakh. V'sofan yeheyom hadin utchias hameisim. At the end of Yemos HaMashiach, there will be a great Yom Hadin, and that will usher in Tchias HaMesim, which will bring about Olam Haba. Meaning to say, according to the Ramban, as opposed to the Olam HaNeshamos, which is where the soul goes after a person dies, in Olam Haba, there is a Neshama and a Guf. And therefore, it's Tchias HaMesim that ushers in Olam Haba. Shu Aschar HaKolel HaGuf V'hanefesh. V'hu ha'ikar ha'gadol shu tikvas kol mikavel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the great hope. That is what everyone longs for, just like we saw in the Rambam. Now, the Rambam, of course, takes a very different perspective. We'll develop this a little later. The Rambam assumes that there is no guf in Olam Haba. But despite the significant discrepancies between, let's say, the Rambam and the Ramban, overall, they're much closer than they might appear at first. The Rambam and the Ramban both agree that Olam Haba is the Iker HaGadol that we're hoping for, that we long for. They both agree that the pleasure of Olam Haba is entirely a spiritual one, even if the Ramban holds that there's a guf. V'hu ha'olam haba shebo yishuv haguf kimo nefesh. V'hanefesh tidabek bedas elyon kidabka began eden olam haneshamos. V'tisala hasaga gedola mimena v'yekiyum hakol la'ade ad ulenetzach netzachim. And this is something that goes on forever. So that's what olam haba is. It's something that follows tchias hameisim. Now, obviously, the Rambam's position intuitively seems to make a lot more sense. What need would there is there for a guf in Olam Haba, if it's, after all, entirely about Yediyas Hashem and understanding Hashem and Dveikus BaHashem? What need will there be for a guf? And we certainly understand why the Rambam rejects that notion. First of all, how do we know there's a guf? So the Ramban shows from many statements in Chazal that al pi pshutam there is a guf. For example, on the top of page 4, he proves it from the Gemara in Sanhedrin we quoted earlier. The Mishnah in Sanhedrin says, kol ha'omer ein tchias ha'mesim min ha'Torah ein lo chai olam haba. Why? The Gemara says, hu kafar ba, he denied it, lefikach lo ye lo chai lakbo, therefore he won't have a portion in it. Now remember, what was he kofar? Tchias ha'mesim. And therefore he won't have a chai lakbo. What's that? Olam haba. So clearly you see that Chazal equated Tchias HaMesim and Olam Haba. Likewise, the Gemara says, "Hi kares ti kares ba'olam hazeh avona ba li olam haba." Mikan her lahem Tchias HaMesim. Chazal proved, how do we know there's such a thing as Tchias HaMesim? The Gemara is replete, not just in Perek HaChelek, but all over the place. In Brachos, for example, with Ramazim in the Torah for Olam Haba. One of the Ramazim is the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, right? As Hashem u'magadef, etc. Hikares. There's a double kares. What is the double kares? Li'olam hazeh and olam haba. He will be cut off both from olam hazeh and olam haba. Mikan l'tchias ha-meisim in ha-Torah. But it didn't say anything about tchias ha-meisim. It says tikares la'olam haba. The answer is, you see that Chazal assumed that olam haba is tchias ha-meisim, or that tchias ha-meisim ushers in the period of olam haba. So, while we certainly understand why the Rambam has difficulty with this, it's also quite evident that the pashtus in Chazal is that there is an association, and the truth of the matter is, it's not at all clear what role Tchias HaMesim at all plays in the thought of the Rambam, since Olam Haba has nothing to do with Tchias HaMesim. In fact, that's one of the reasons why he was accused of having denied the existence of Tchias HaMesim, even though he frequently does make reference to it, because what's the point? And again, this is something that we'll return to shortly.
Is Rambam's Olam Haba exactly the same thing as Ramban's Olam HaNeshamos?
They're probably very similar. Okay. So now let's turn for a moment to what exactly Gan Eden is first. Yes, Nathan. No, it was an outgrowth of rational philosophy. And especially even among more extreme rationalists than the Rambam was, it would prove even more problematic. But Bezos Hashem, we'll get there. So what is Gan Eden? So on page 4, the Ramban writes, V'tchila ne'mar sheschar ha-mitzvos kulan v'agmul ha-tov shalahem davar pashat hu b'divrei rabbeinu she'ikar ha-gadol hu chai olam haba. The ikar schar of mitzvos is olam haba. Aval ha-schar ha-kodem v'hu ma she'yagia l'adam achrei ha-maves miyad hu Gan Eden. The initial point of reward is Gan Eden. Gan Eden is almost like a holding tank for the neshamos waiting for olam haba. Meaning to say, the ikar is certainly olam haba, the Ramban explains. Why is there Gan Eden? Because olam haba doesn't yet exist. It's olam haba. It's going to come into the existence in the future. As opposed to the Rambam understands olam haba as something which exists now. After a person dies, they can go to olam haba. For the Ramban, it's something which exists in the future, like we said, after Tchias HaMesim. And therefore, what is the purpose of Gan Eden? It's a holding pen for the neshamos, as it were, until that point in time. And therefore, he says, the ikar is olam haba. Kamo shebi'arnu megehenim shehu ha'onesh ha'magia l'rasha achrei ha'maves miyad, v'chein timtza b'chol makom midvareim Gan Eden hefech megehenim. We always assume, we always see in Chazal, that the opposite of Gan Eden is Gehenim, not the opposite of Gehenim is olam haba. Skipping down a little to the bold, what is the nature of the reward of Gan Eden? Davar ze ikaru b'Torah uperusho b'divrei sofrim. Shegan Eden matzui hu ba'olam hazeh b'makom imakom asaretz. Gan Eden is a physical place that exists now on the world. Meaning to say, if you look at the psukim in Parshas Bereishis, the impression you get is that Gan Eden is a physical location. V'sha'arba naharos yotzin misham, v'echad mehem peras ha-sovev Eretz Yisrael. Here you see the allusion to the connection between Gan Eden and Eretz Yisrael, meaning to say it's a physical place. The Torah delineates its physical boundaries. V'chol ma sheba b'kasov mipshutei seder bereishis ha-kol emes, ein mikra mehen yotzin midei pshuto. What we say in Sefer Bereishis is absolutely true, al pi pshat. And he says that there are even people that think they know approximately where Gan Eden is. Anji amidos atzman yomru shegan Eden tachas akav hashvaya shelo yosif hayom velo yachsar, somewhere around the equator. Aval, skipping, sod ha'inyan hazeh, shadvarim kfulin, the things are double. Ki gan eden ve'arba neharosav ve'etz ha'chayim ve'etz ha'das asher nata sham ha'elohim v'chein ha'kruvim ve'lat cherv ha'mishapeches gam alei ha'teina ve'hachaguros uksones ha'or kulam kipshutan ukimashmam. All of the things described in the first chapters of Bereishis are literally true. The Eitz Chaim, the Eitz Das Tovara, the Chagros Sak, etc. Emes V'yatziv Ha'inyan. Ulesod Muflahu. Kihem Kitziure Davar Lahavin Od Inyan Amok B'mashal. But they are also metaphors and tools by which we could understand the deep truths. Kemo Shaninu Dmus Tsuros Levanos Hayu Lenram Gamliel Ba'aliyah B'tavlo Kosel. Meaning to say, just like Rabbi Gamliel used to have pictures and diagrams of the moon so that when Edim came with respect to Kiddush HaChodesh, he would point to this. He said, does it look like this or does it look like this? Does it look like this or does it look like this? Those pictures physically exist, obviously, but the truth is that they are codes or impressions of something else, of the actual moon. So the physical existence of Olam Haba is equivalent to the physical existence of the picture of the moon. Not Olam Haba, I'm sorry, Gan Eden. Meaning to say the Eitz HaChayim, etc. And those were ways by which a person was able to understand, describe, and relate to the deeper secrets. And you find this in all things. There's a Gan Eden Tachton that's connected to the Gan Eden Elyon. Just like in the Mishkan there was the Chatzer V'Ohel V'Lifnimina Paroches, so too in the Mikdash Shalmala. Everything is connected to something which is much deeper. The Mikdash had the Azara, the Hechal, and the Dvir, and all these are keneged things which are deeper and truer, and they're means by which a person can understand those sodos. V'chol asher b'chol makom u'makom min ha'kelim v'tziurei akruvim kulam lahavin sodos ma'ase olam ha'elyon v'ha'emtza'i v'ha'shafel. These are all kelim by which a person can understand the different worlds. V'rimzei havayos kol ha'merkav ha'sham. V'chol ha'nivraim atzman b'yitzirasan b'dibmus nivra'u. This is the idea of Chachmas HaSod. The Zohar is built off of the pasuk of Mibsarai Echazeh Eloka, that I could understand God by looking at my guf. That the sheer koma of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is connected to the sheer koma of Adam. Meaning to say that through understanding the sheer koma of Adam, a person can come to a understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the extent that that is possible. Everything is a mashal. And if we understand the mashalim, then we're able to understand the nimshalim. And that's why if a person does not have the proper training, if they look at this Sifrei HaSod, they'll see things that seem absolutely heretical. When somebody showed the Rambam certain types of Torah HaSod from the Sifrei HaChalos and the like, so he did not have that Mesorah, and he said that's Kfira. Because if you don't understand and recognize that these are mashalim, so you'll look at different descriptions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his right and his left and his feet and his head, and of course it doesn't make any sense. And what the Ramban here is saying is that of course these are all dimyonos, they're tziurim, that help a person understand this sodos. Kemo she'amru b'sefer yetzira, simin ledavar ve'edim ne'manim olam shana v'nefesh. These are three themes in the Sefer Yetzira, olam shana, and nefesh. V'adam arishon ma'ase yadav shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu mivchar b'nei adam haya b'tfuna u'v'das v'eshchino HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'mivchar ha'mekomos lahanas ha'guf u'letoeles ha'guf v'tzir b'makom ahu ha'nechbad kol ma'ase ha'olam ha'elyon hu olam ha'neshamos b'tzir gashmi. So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do to Adam HaRishon? We're towards the top of page 5. He put Adam HaRishon in Gan Eden. What does that mean, he put him in Gan Eden? It means he put him in the place which was the ideal location for him to understand these sodos. It was the Olam HaNeshamos Bitzir Gashmi, meaning to say, the Olam HaNeshamos, these deep spiritual mystical ideas, with physical manifestations. Lahavin Misham Yisod Kol Nivra, through the physical manifestations in Olam Haba, which was a physical place, he was going to be able to understand the Yisodos Kol Nivra. Gufi V'Nafshi U'Malachi. Everything that a human being could possibly understand about God was able to be understood in Gan Eden through the Mashalim which characterized Gan Eden. Gam hamakom ahu nechbad b'kol hamakomos olam ha-shafel mipnei hamutzak asher al rosho min ha-olam ha-elyon ha-emtzai v'ha-elyon. This place, Gan Eden, was more appropriate for understanding God because of the mutzak, meaning to say the yitzika, from the upper worlds. The pasuk says, "V'hanar yotze me'eden lahashkos es hagan." What that means is that there were three olamos, three levels. There was Eden and Gan, and the Nahar connected them. So the Nahar was Yotze Me'eden, which was Mashke the Gan. The Gan was supported through the Nahar. And this corresponds to the Olam HaDibor, the Olam HaMachshava, and the Olam HaMaisa. The Gan was obviously the Olam HaMaisa. The Nahar that was Yotze Me'eden, so Dibor connects Maisa with Machshava. Dibor, on the one hand, is limited and partially physical, it's not totally abstract, and therefore connects the Olamos HaMachshava with the Olam HaMaisa, and that's what the Ramban is saying. It was through its connection to the Olamos HaElyonim, there was no place like Gan Eden to understand these concepts. Valkain, Yirubo Maros HaElohim, Yoser Mishar Mikomos HaAretz. It was more appropriate for understanding Maros Elohim, Kasher anachnu ma'aminim she'eretz Yisrael v'Yerushalayim mekomos nechbadim ha'emtzai ve'alyon. Here he alludes to a very fascinating concept. We find in the Torah two very special places. We find Eretz Yisrael and Gan Eden. How are they related? Each one was specifically designed and perfected for achieving its particular goal. And Gan Eden had a different goal than Yerushalayim and Eretz Yisrael, though they're certainly related, as he alluded to. Valkain, Yirubo Maros Elokim, Kasher anachnu ma'aminim she'eretz Yisrael v'Yerushalayim mekomos nechbadim yuchadim l'nevua be'atman mepnei mutzakam v'chol shekein beis hamikdash kisei Hashem. Just like Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim, and certainly the beis hamikdash, is a place which is especially appropriate for nevua, Ukinyan Shinemar Manorama Komaze Ainza Ki im Besaluhim Vizeshar Shemayim. Tala Nivuaso Habai Lav Mibilti Hakdamas Kavana Bimalas Hamakom. When Yaakov Avinu received a prophecy which he had not prepared for, he associated that with the specialness of the place. Ain Zeki im Bes Elokim Vizeshar Shemayim. Eretz Yisrael is Shar Shemayim, the Beis HaMikdash, the Makom HaMikdash, as the Ramban Al HaTorah there says, is the Shar HaShemayim, and hence it's most appropriate for Nevuah, for Ashras HaShechina, and therefore Tefillah as well. Al Kain, Shochnei Gan Eden, Shehu Mivchar Mekomos Lemeidim B'Tziurei HaDvarim Kol Sodas Al Yonim V'Nashem Mis'alim B'Limud Ahu V'Roe Maros Al Elohim B'Chevras Kavod Al Yonim Min HaMakom Ahu. So too, Gan Eden is perfectly designed and designated for the purpose of understanding the Sodos HaBorei, just like Eretz Yisrael is designated for Nevuah and Tefillah and his kashrus to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Umasigim kol ma sheyachol hanivra ladas ulahavin kelimud Moshe Rabbeinu olav hashalom b'Sinai. Gan Eden is a place where a person is most capable of understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just like Moshe Rabbeinu's experience at Sinai, which, by the way, explains why Har Sinai and Matan Torah was not in Eretz Yisrael. Uki'inyan shekasov asher atah mar'eh bahar, zehu inyan yedi'aso yedi'asenu b'gan Eden. You could add, by the way, that is the reason why there was the expansion and Torah, and especially Torah Shebaal Peh, proliferated in Bavel, which has shaychus to Gan Eden. If Eretz Yisrael was the place of Nevuah, then in a certain sense, and we'll talk about this a little more later in the year, when we get into the thought of Reb Tzadok and the development of Torah Shebaal Peh and the like, but in a certain sense, Bavel was most appropriate for that form of development in terms of understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And skipping down a couple paragraphs, Vim Tomar, Kevan She'inyan Alderach HaNizkar Mikol Makom Gan Eden Ba'olam HaZeh HaTachton Hu Maschar Neshamo Sham V'heim To'al Asam B'davar Gashmi V'lo B'makom M'komos HaAretz V'olam HaTachtonim. What possible benefit does the Neshama have in this physical place called Gan Eden? Kvar Pirashnu She'inyan Kafel. The answer is, as we explained, that the matter is double. V'zeh Gan Eden Zehu Gan V'Eden HaTachtonim Hein Siurim L'Sodos Alyonim. That the lower Gan Eden is a mashal, is a tzir for the sodos alyonim, v'advar mahem alyonim harimuzim ba'elu gam kein nikraim gan ve'eden. So there's the gan ve'eden atachton, connected to the gan ve'eden ha'elyon, and there are in fact many, many different levels, as he elaborates. Yeah.
I know the Ramban associates the Mishkan and corresponding to basically later on to the continuation of Mamad Har Sinai. So Mamad Har Sinai corresponds to Gan Eden. It would seem that Yerushalayim should have Milus.
It does, and as we said, that's what he said before, that the Pras is Shaykh to Eretz Yisrael and Gan Eden. There's a connection. They're not two totally separate realms. Okay. Now, yeah.
Just one quick observation. So Adam Arishan, I mean, he states it clearly, but the point is Adam, the same way that the physicality of Gan Eden was like this concentrated kind of physicality that it was designed to actually reflect so accurately higher stuff, Adam as a person also was like a super kind of man.
Mm-hmm.
Was able to be sensitive to it and appreciate all of it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Obviously, Ein Lanu Esek B'Nistaros, and these are things that we can't really understand, and we finished that chelak of this unit, but at least some basic awareness, I think, is important. So now we're going to turn to Shitas HaRambam. We're not going to read through all the Rambams inside. Rambam is a lot easier to read and understand than the Ramban. The Rambam discusses Olam Haba Nimos HaMashiach in Mishneh Torah primarily in two places, at the end of Hilchos Teshuva and at the end of Hilchos Malachim. They're all here, as you could see. First of all, as we mentioned, the Rambam writes that in Perek Ches that Hatov Atzfuna LeTzadikim Hu Chayolam Haba V'hi Achaim She'en Moves Batova She'en Imara. And this is what the Torah says when it says L'manita Avlach V'arachta Yamim, which is Yom Shekulo Tov and Yom Shekulo Arach, which is Olam Haba. And likewise, he quotes the same psukim that we saw from the Gemara Sanhedrin. Hikares tikares is referring to Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. In Halacha Beis, the Rambam continues, Ha'olam Haba ein bo guf ugvia ela nefashos hatzadikim bilvad bilo guf kimalachei asharis. In Olam Haba, they are simply the souls. The Rambam was not the only one to adopt this position, though, as I mentioned before, it is not. It's the minority opinion. Ibn Gabirol, for example, writes, "Tachas kisei kevodacha ma'amad l'nefashos chasidacha uvo noam b'li tachlis v'kitzva v'hul olam haba." Right, meaning to say, like the Rambam. The first thing we should note in the Rambam is his focus on the intellectual achievements. And I guess next week we'll start with this, because it's very important and also difficult to understand, but it explains a lot of ideas in the Rambam, as we'll see, why he focuses so much on the Ikari Amuna and the like, that Olam Haba is a place where, as he says, Kilomar, Dashi Yedusha Biglala Zachu L'chai Olam Haba. It's the dash that people know, it's the acquired intellect of this world that allows them to, as we said before, naturally appreciate Olam Haba. The Rambam, like the Ramban, says, quotes the famous Gemara, that in Olam Haba, lo achila v'lo shdia, el tzadikim yoshin v'atrosem b'rosheim v'nanen b'ziv hashchina. Everybody agrees that Olam Haba is all about nanen b'ziv hashchina. The Rambam says, if lo ochlin v'lo shosim, so then why is there need for a body? And what does it mean, atrosem b'rosheim? Atrosem b'rosheim, like we said, is a mashal to the intellectual achievements that a person has on this world. And therefore, we see in Chazal, the Rambam says, this notion that a person's intellectual achievements are what precisely allows a person to experience and appreciate Olam Haba. And thus, he says in Halacha Gimel, Kol nefesh amura b'inyan zeh eino haneshama tzricha l'gof el tzuras hanefesh shehi hadaya shesiga mehabore kefi kocha. The nefesh is the extent to which a person was able to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yediyas Hashem, of course, is therefore the most important thing. V'siga deos hanefrados v'shar hamasim v'hi atzura shebi'arnu inyana b'perak revi'i mehilchos yisodei HaTorah hi anikres nefesh b'chol inyan. Chayim elu l'fi she'eni ma'an maves she'ena maves ela mima'oros ha'gof. Olam Haba obviously has no death, because death is something that relates to things which are physical. It's a physical, material quality and property. Ve'en sham guf, nikro tzror ha'chayim, shenemar v'haysa nefesh adonit tzrura b'tzror ha'chayim, v'zeo ha'schar she'en schar l'mala mimenu, v'atova she'en achare atova, v'hi she'is avu la kol ha'nevi'im. This is what all the Nevi'im longed for. This also brings us to another important conclusion within the Rambam, which is, well, then, what is the worst possible punishment? In Halacha Hey, he says, Hanekama she'ein nekama gedola mimena she'tikares hanefesh v'lo tizakeh l'oso achayim she'nema hikares tikares hanefesh ha'hi avona ba. The worst possible onesh that's conceivable is being cut off from Olam Haba. Why? Obviously, if the ultimate good is Olam Haba, so then the ultimate punishment is lack of Olam Haba. And that's what it means, hikares tikares. Now, if you were to just have this Rambam, and this is also something, again, we'll have to get to next week when we elaborate upon the Rambam's position, the implication is that there's no room for Gehenim, meaning to say, if you do that which is right, you'll be able to enjoy Olam Haba. And if you don't acquire those types of spiritual, intellectual achievements, so then naturally when a person dies, so they'll die, that'll be it. Just as their body dies, their soul will cease to exist. And if so, it would seem, at least from here, that the Rambam denies Gehenim, or anything of that sort. And we'll see that that is not such a simple matter. What about Yemos HaMashiach? So the Rambam continues with a description of Yemos HaMashiach. And perhaps we'll just conclude for today with the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva Perek Yud, which you could find on your booklets on page 10. And then later on, next time, we'll develop some of the other ideas. So the Rambam says, even though Olam Haba is the idea that all the Nevi'im and the Tzadikim and the Chachamim always longed for, it's the thing that they looked forward to more than anything else, but that doesn't mean to say that is what motivated them. No, quite the contrary. Someone who is motivated by Olam Haba is begeder someone who is Ovid Esarav al Manas Lekabel Pras. And that, of course, is not the ideal level. It's perhaps a low level that's initially necessary, mitoch shelo lishma balishma, but that shouldn't be a person's motivation. They shouldn't be motivated by Olam Haba. Now here it's important to add an interesting concept from Reb Tzadok. Reb Tzadok, as well as the truth is the Rav, as Rav Yitzi Blau points out in an article, distinguishes between two types of longing for Olam Haba. The inappropriate longing for Olam Haba, what the Rambam here rejects in Hilchos Tshuva, is when one looks forward to and longs for Olam Haba as a type of reward. And the Rambam says, reward is not something that should motivate a person. A person should be Oved as Hashem me'ahava. The opposite of being Oved Hashem al-Manas l'kabel pras, al-Manas to get Olam Haba, the opposite of that is to be Oved as Hashem me'ahava. And what does Oved as Hashem me'ahava mean? It means someone who's Oses ha'emes mepnei shehu emes. Someone who does that which is right because it's right. Someone who does that which is true and seeks the truth and longs for the truth because it's true. That is what Ava is, and therefore that's the opposite of being Oved as Hashem, Amanas Lekabel Pras, Amanas to get Olam Haba. If you're doing it for Olam Haba, you're not doing it because it's MS, you're because you want to be rewarded. And therefore, someone who longs for Olam Haba because they want reward, and therefore that is their motivation, is something that is inappropriate. But someone who longs for Olam Haba, because as we saw in the Rambam and the Ramban, it's the place of the ultimate dveikus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the ultimate yediyas Hashem. It's a place where someone could be masig Hashem, kefish efshar, and therefore love Hashem. So that is an appropriate motivation. That is not considered al-menas l'kabel pras. And thus the Rambam writes that Kol and Nevi'im were nisavu for Olam Haba. They longed for Olam Haba. Not in the sense that they did mitzvos to get Olam Haba, but in the sense that they wished to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And someone who longs for Olam Haba, and even the schar of Olam Haba, not as external schar, but as a place of closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what they long for is closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that is appropriate. And therefore there's a subtle distinction. Two people could long for Olam Haba. One person is Begader Oved Es HaRav al-Manas l'kabel pras, and one is Oved Es HaRav Filo al-Manas l'kabel pras. Someone who longs for Olam Haba Schar is al-Manas l'kabel pras. Someone who longs for Olam Haba because they yearn closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that's not considered al-menas l'kabel pras. On the contrary, that's part of avas Hashem. That's part of always oives Hashem, always oses ames mipnei shehu ames. Everyone should have a wonderful Shabbos, and be'ezras Hashem, will continue this topic next week.